Today, a taxing time for Queensland investors. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. We have the latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Queensland has been a state where property investors have traditionally made better returns on a net and gross basis from investment property in the state compared with those in New South Wales and Victoria. To recap, gross investment returns is the ratio of current property market values compared to the current rental paid on the investment property, assuming the property is fully let. The net investment return is a more real-world measure, which takes account of actual vacancy rates, costs of the mortgage, maintenance, and management of the property. In fact, in our surveys, many property investors have no real feel about their true net returns, clinging to the prospect of eternal capital gains. This first chart is a state-by-state summary based on our core market model, and I've sorted the states by net investment yield, with averages highest in the Northern Territories at 1.72%, Tasmania at 1.58%, the ACT at 1.19%, and Queensland at 0.98%. Whereas New South Wales has a net return on average of zero, and Victoria has an even lower minus 0.1%. Now, these are averages across the properties in each state, and there is considerable variation. To illustrate this, this chart is stack ranked by net investment yield, and I've plotted all postcodes across all states. The observation here is that Queensland postcodes are very well represented in the range of 1.5 to 3% net investment yield, whereas the bulk of New South Wales and Victorian postcodes are in the negative territory. In fact, across the country, close to half of all investors are losing money on a net cash flow basis. And with values falling, now capital gains have also gone missing. In fact, those in Victoria are worse placed, which explains the very strong interstate investment in Queensland, one reason why prices and rents have shot up in the past couple of years in that northern state. But there is something else afoot in Queensland which could change this picture possibly significantly. Indeed, those following the AFR will have noted its fever pitch campaign against an Australian first move whereby landholders will have to voluntarily disclose their interstate holdings in other states before being taxed for their Queensland holdings. These land tax changes were first introduced in the 21-22 budget. That was on the 16th of December 2021. The Queensland Treasury has said the tax change will raise only around $20 million a year from 23 to 24 and impact about 10,000 landlords, most of whom live interstate. When Queensland Treasurer Cameron Dick announced the land tax change last year, he said he was closing a land tax loophole which allowed interstate investors with properties across multiple states to access tax-free and progressive rate thresholds multiple times. And he said the land tax adjustment, which would only affect interstate investors with a number of properties in different states, would make the system, quote, fairer and more equitable. This sensible, prudent reform means interstate investors get treated the same way as Queensland investors, wherever they live and wherever they own property, he said. Mr. Dick said last year that some interstate investors exploited tax-free thresholds in different jurisdictions to minimise their tax obligations. Now, the Queensland government will not release modelling to justify its controversial multi-jurisdictional land tax changes, which will slug investors when they start next year. And so, of course, investors are irate with the changes, saying they will drive investors out of Queensland, as well as pushing up rents. They feel like they're being taxed twice in two different states. A spokesman for Mr. Dick acknowledged this week, though, that the tax change would indeed affect some Queensland investors. So now Queensland owners are working out how they're going to be stung by the tax. Investors in the Real Estate Institute of Queensland have called on the Treasurer to scrap the changes, which introduces land tax based on property owned across other states. The new rules are a disgrace. They impact Queenslanders, non-Queenslanders and tenants, one investor said in a recent AFR article. Another investor, who didn't want to be named, said they would have no choice but to pass the increases onto their tenants. Property Council of Australia's Queensland Executive Director, Jen Williams, said it had repeatedly raised concerns about the unorthodox method of calculating land tax that required landholders to self-report and cross-checking with land tax systems in other states. At a time when the state is in the midst of a housing supply and affordability crisis, it appears counterintuitive to introduce any adjustment, or for that matter, any new tax upon the industry, Ms. Williams said. This is not just closing a tax loophole, it is the most significant reform of a land tax system that has operated effectively for decades, and it should have been consulted upon to the same extent that a reform of its magnitude would normally entail. New South Wales Finance Minister Damien Truhope is seeking advice as to whether the Queensland scheme, which relies on the goodwill of revenue offices in other states to pass the information to be effective, is in fact constitutional. After last Friday's Treasurer's meeting, South Australian Treasurer Stephen Milligan said he wouldn't be going down the Queensland path. The South Australian government has committed to no new taxes and has no intention of following Queensland's lead, he said. So, as investors scramble to work out how many thousands of dollars more they're going to pay in land tax, Treasurer Cameron Dick is standing firm on the new tax that will hit landholders from 2023 to 2024. A spokesman for Mr. Dick said that the law changes were announced in December last year and would not come into effect until the 1st of July next year, giving landholders 561 days to make adjustments to their investment portfolios. All material relevant to the revenue forecast for the land tax changes has been outlined in the 2021-2022 budget update, the explanatory notes to the relevant legislation, or the 2022-23 budget estimates hearings, the spokesman said. And during recent budget estimates hearings, Under Treasurer Leon Allen would not confirm there was full economic modelling done on the tax change, which investors claim will hit them with an extra tax of $25,000. He told the hearings a range of information was put into that whole decision-making process. An opposition Treasury spokesman, David Jasinski, said it was clear there had not been thorough analysis of the land tax changes before they were announced. It's becoming typical of the current government that it seeks to implement this tax without modelling, proper consultation or detailed analysis, he said. Economists, property industry experts, lawyers and academics are raising new concerns every day. It's difficult to recall a more poorly prepared or considered tax policy. It will drive out investment and drive up rents. Well, whatever you may think about what Queensland is doing, the fallout could be quite significant insofar that the gradient which has tilted people towards investing in Queensland may indeed shift another way. But I guess we'll have to wait and see how things shake out. But the bottom line is this, that those extremely positive returns across many areas of Queensland may be a thing of the past. And overlay falling property values and also pressure in the rental sector, this could run and run. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.